meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, John. Welcome everyone to the MPOC XCOM meeting on Tuesday, 9th of April 2019 at 1400 UTC. On the call today, we have John Carr, Ora Leshi, Raul Soma, and from staff, we have myself, Marian Bakochi. And we have apologies from Juan Moyama Rojas. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for translation purposes, and also please mute your microphones when you're not speaking. Thank you very much, and over to you, John.
Great. Thank you, Miriam, and hi, everyone. Can you move the agenda just up a little bit, please? Just to the very top. I don't commit this stuff to memory. Okay, so like I said, David will be joining us. Hi, everyone. So we've survived Kobe. I don't know. Oh, here's David, I think. So we've survived Kobe. I guess Raul is still there. You were just about to say, Raul? Oh, okay. All right. So what Raul and I kind of discuss is if there's time after this, we're going to do the charter, just review the charter as well, just so to sort of get that work done. I did do some changes and suggestions after the Kobe meeting, so hopefully it's going to be a little bit faster, and it's near the end, but in any case. So let's just go to the agenda then. Ori did send notes from the Kobe meetings, and I did read them. So we need to get them up on the website as soon as it's possible. I believe they were sent to the discuss list anyway, but for sure the EC saw them. So let's make sure that gets up. At least some notes get on the website and some pictures. So we'll get that as an action for Caleb to do. Is everybody hearing me okay? I would assume because no one says anything.
Yes, we are.
Yes, yes. Okay, great. So that's an action for the Kobe notes to go up on the website. And Caleb did a good job in the Facebook. They put some pictures up, and I thought that was fantastic.
I'm thinking about that.
Who was that? I'm sorry. All right. So Ori, that would be an action for us to put, just to maybe reduce some of those notes and put them up, the highlights from the Kobe meetings. And since we're putting them up slowly, you and I can just maybe add a paragraph about what we're going to do in Marrakesh, just to sort of tie it in, since it's a few weeks later. I mean, that will make it more relevant than just to put it up. I think that we should, if we can, and if David is okay with it, also put some highlights from the EPDP presentation. I think it was excellent, and I think maybe that's something that we should have a separate call for the members to sort of have an update on the EPDP, especially for maybe policy or something to do, because it was excellent. It really gave a good overview of what's happening. So that's something I'd like to suggest.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah. And maybe some highlights to go into the notes for Kobe, maybe two or three sentences, you know, this is what the PDP is, and just a high-level highlight sort of thing for us to put on the website by Friday maybe. Is that possible?
I'm going to try. It's going to be very difficult, though. I'm on the road this week.
Right.
Then I'm on the
okay.
road. Sorry.
Okay, so then maybe what we'll do is just mention that it was done and maybe ask the members if it's something that they would be interested in having a separate webinar about. that might be the way to go. So, all right, so it includes, so highlights of Kobe. Okay. All right. Next, the website. There is a separate document that says what needs to be done, but we don't have Caleb on. I hear an echo. I don't know why I'm hearing. Oh, that's better. Yeah, so Caleb needs to, maybe he'll be coming on. I left him a message as well, and there was no apology, so I think it must be, he might be coming on. But the website does look good, by the way. Dev Tuckensing actually looked at it, and he really, really liked it so far. So it, I did ask someone to review it just because, and he really liked it. So that's a really good thing because he's very good at community engagement, and him and I have lots of conversations. And a website should really be friendly. And I think, anyway, and I think our website looks like that, lots of pictures, which is fantastic. So we'll leave that for Caleb, and let's go on to ICANN 65 preparation. Now, yesterday was the last day, supposedly, I always use that word supposedly, for submissions for travel. Has anyone had any issues around travel for the, just a travel issue for ICANN 65? I don't think we have any issues around visas. I'm not sure. I don't think we do. But no, everyone else seems to be okay. All right. I guess we don't have any EC meetings. Oh, we do have EC meetings, but not the constituency day or anything like that. But there are policy meetings that needs to be done, and then we also have to attend the GNSO meetings. I guess that's what it's all about. So what I will do is look at what the schedule says and sort of identify some of the key meetings that we have to attend and allocate people to attend to them so that we start to do that and make notes so that we can put them on the website, because I think that's where we're going, is that we've got to be participants in this process now. So I will do that. I will look at the schedule and send it out for us to attend. So that's my side. Now, Miriam, just clarify for me, we have to have a policy meeting at ICANN 65 or an EC meeting?
No, it's not a must. You can decide, so I'm just wondering, that's why I posted the list of meetings, is you can decide if you want to have a policy meeting or just get on with the flow of the policy forum with other policy issues that are being discussed in different meetings. So
right. It's my choice.
Yes, it's your choice.
Okay. So how does everyone feel? Should we have an EC meeting in Marrakesh? We should definitely have a policy meeting, so there's one suggestion. I think so, too. I mean, it's policy-focused, so so, David, you haven't heard from travel. You're not an alternate for Marrakesh. You're allocated the seat because Juan is unable to make it.
Sorry, Mariam, for the record, John, EPDP.
Yes, talking about the EPDP.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Thanks. Yes, I can.
Mariam? Yes, okay. The thing with the EPDP is that I'll be, if there isn't any travel funding associated with it, and I will actually need to attend EPDP meetings if, depending on, probably we have one alternate, we only have two alternates at the moment, but we probably should both have travel, but currently we have three full members that are not funded. So, it's unclear, if we're able to get some funding for, at least two of those three full members that I won't necessarily need to attend, but all the EPDP meetings, though obviously I might get called in at any point. The EPDP is basically doing anything since Kobe at this point, by the way. They've just been sort of organising and ramping up for phase two, which will be beginning very soon.
Mm-hmm. Did they find a chair, just out of curiosity?
We haven't got one yet, so poor Rafiq is stuck with it.
there you go.
I'm not very happy about that, I assure you. He's very miserable.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work, but you have to be pretty knowledgeable about the process anyway, so I think he needs that.
I've only heard of one definite person who's applied for to be the chair, and that's an interesting choice, given that it's Chris Lahat, who I think actually knows very little about the policy issues, but I guess would be hopefully a firm hand on behaviour. There are quite a few people not doing it. I had someone tell me I should run for it or express interest in the chair, and having seen what it did to Kurt trying to run meetings from, you know, sort of run meetings from Australia, I was not very keen.
Yeah, it was just out of curiosity that I asked. So I noticed that Raul, I suggested that to Miriam already, that you take the travel slot from NCSG and that David would be allocated the NPOC slot, travel slot. So that's how we approach it, because that was the only way that we could submit. So there you go. Yes. All right. So, where are we? ICANN 67. So the question was, do we have on the table is two suggestions. One is that we should definitely have a policy meeting, and the second one is taking advantage of to have an EC meeting. So I agree. Those are I'd like to have at least an hour for the EC meeting, since so many of us are face-to-face. I prefer face-to-face meetings personally, but how does everybody feel about that? So, David, would you be able to organize a policy meeting for Marrakesh?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and I think we'll have a bit to do.
Yeah. Okay. So, if you need any help, please let me know, because as you know, the rooms are limited, so we have to be, we're last on the list for rooms, I'm sure. So, because everyone else, the hot topics, I think, have the first choice, first dibs. How does everyone feel about having an EC meeting? Sorry?
I would assume that they'd put us in the first weekend again, which there's a bit
right.
less demand.
Yeah, and that's good. So, Raul, just to answer your question regarding NCSG, I think it should be okay. All right. So, okay. So we're going to do an EC policy meeting, and how does everybody feel? Is there a yes or no about an EC meeting? Anyone have any objections to an EC meeting? No. Somebody's typing, so we've got a PC, yes, and an EC. Yeah, it's always good just to meet, even if it's just a, we may have to even review the charter, hopefully not, but, all right, any other preparations that we need to do? Yes, Raul, I see that. What I wanted to suggest is a meeting with ALAC to review our Montreal second joint session to make sure that we really zero in on what it is that we want the outcome of those meetings, that meeting to be, that joint session. I mean, I know that they've always had it, so it's information, and NCUC does it like that, this is who we are, etc. But I think that we need to do more. We need to get not just giving information of who we are and what's the differences between ALAC and MPOC, which obviously we need to really crystallize. But I think at the end of the day, what Maureen and I had sort of talked about was how do we go forward and share resources, sort of ALAC developing their own educational resources and MPOC doing it, and of course we're small. How do we get together? How do we work together without stepping on toes to develop resources jointly? And I think we should have that conversation face-to-face with John LaPrise and maybe Maureen. She's pretty busy. How does people feel about that? Like, it will be a session that we actually go through what we want to accomplish in Montreal, and we would do that in Marrakesh. I can work with Maureen to, yeah. Is everybody okay with that? It would mean that we would have to meet with them to do that. Go ahead.
So also by Montreal, I would think there's a lot of, there's a fair bit of time between Marrakesh and Montreal.
Yes, but Montreal is going to be very busy because we've got the NACET meetings, the Internet School of Internet Governance, and things like that. So ALAC is pretty, and Norella is pretty busy with that. So I just want to make sure that we actually have a really good go forward plan so that we can just plan it and not having to have the meetings in between. Too many meetings. So, I mean, this whole joint session was not just to have a joint session. It was how do we help our members? How do we get them engaged? How do we get them to participate? And so, you know, that's the question we have to ask. You know, what are the three things that we need to define to help each other? So. All right, any other thing for preparation for ICANN 65 so far?
Hi, John, it's Maren. I've got my hands up.
Hi. Yep. Go ahead, Maren.
Okay. Right, thanks, John. Just a quick one. Going back to the EC meeting, I just want to, I think, kind of make it clear that we will not have recording for the meeting like we did at Kobe.
Right.
So just to... We know that it's not going to be recorded, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. We know that. We'll take notes. We'll take good notes. We have a really good secretary. All right. So if there are no other questions or issues around the video for the show, okay. Yeah. Okay. So please do submit your application. Miriam, is your hand up again, or is that an old hand? Okay. All right. Crop application. Whoop.
Hi.
Or you wanted to speak?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. In COVID, we have spoken about doing a session in Marrakesh. We spoke about that, but I think we haven't really discussed anything about that since then. We're thinking of doing something, I don't know, maybe on... We actually didn't really flesh out what we wanted to do, but we had just discussed maybe we wanted to do something. So I wanted to remind you about that.
Right. Yes. Thanks for that. We were thinking about doing a joint session with Afrolo, right?
Yes.
Something like that. Something similar to what we did just to develop that relationship was what I was, because, you know, we work with La Crallo, we're going to be working with Norello, that's how they do their regional thing, and so I thought it would be really good to do something with Afrolo just so that they didn't, but how does everybody feel about that? This is a different type of meeting, so it was just a suggestion just to sort of develop our relationship with the different relos, as they call them, which is a regional representation. Do we want to do that? Because that would mean that we have to plan the session with them and sort of along the same line of inviting people to come to the session. Or we could just have an informal meeting with Afrolo as well. So what do people think? Do we want to do a session with Afrolo?
Well, I mean, I think since we haven't started the conversation with them, then maybe it's a bit late for Marrakesh. Yeah. Maybe we should just, you know, start having discussions with them and maybe look at, you know, how we can share resources between our members and then, you know, maybe think about doing something, I don't know, later on down the line.
Yeah, because our conversation is really with ALAC, which is the stakeholder group, right? And so they, like for example, Maureen allocated who was going to work with us in Kobe, and she would do the same for Montreal, because we did agree on two sessions, and that it was best to do it in Kobe and Montreal rather than Marrakesh. So, all right. So let's just plan on Montreal, and since I'm in Montreal, I guess a lot of it will be on me to invite not-for-profits here. But yeah, I will do that then. All right. So I just wanted to put it out there. I didn't want anybody to feel like they were snubbed. So we are trying to now sort of collaborate, right? That's the mode that we're in. So. Okay, thank you for reminding me, though. All right, crop application. There was a notice sent. I think Miriam reminded me that I should send out another one just to remind people that there's a deadline, which is April 15th. So I will do that. Do we have anyone that we want to particularly or anything to say about this? Have we received any applications? No, just Raul, the answer is no. We've just received some interest. Oh, we have received two. Well,
yes,
Miriam
we
received
have.
It. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So we've received from Remy and Olivier.
That's right. I saw that. I thought they just responded that they would, but I didn't see the... yeah. So. All right. So I'll send out something again or just use the same notice and just remind people. So yeah, Caleb and Ori are going to be in Marrakesh already. So I believe Caleb received a scholarship, if I remember correctly. So and Ori's on the MPOX travel. So okay, next. Elections. Now, Juan's not here, but ICANN has sort of changed their rules around 90 days and to 120 days. And MPOC has always had an issue of when an EC's term is completed. So, because we're in the process of developing everything, I'm going to suggest that we follow ICANN and NCUC with ending the term at the AGM. It just makes it clean, crystal clear, and it gives us time to have the 100 days satisfied for the election. So in our old charter, it requires us to have over 60 days for the election period. So it's pretty hefty. We've changed that in a new one, but we still have to follow the old one. So the suggestion that I've made, and this is what I need feedback on, is that we don't hold our elections until after June, and then we would know who the new EC would be at the AGM, and then they would take over after the AGM. So it makes it very clear that's the meeting that the existing EC would be completed. Yeah, you can make it earlier, but they don't have the length of time. NCUC does not have the length of time that we have for our elections. I think theirs is much. Exactly. So ours is like 60 days between notification and the. It's pretty substantial. I don't know why they did that. So, right, exactly. That's exactly what we want to do, is have the change at the AGM. How does everybody feel about that? Okay, so I will work with Juan to for the notification and put for the next meeting and have the period so everybody will see what's happening. Are there any questions? So everyone should be thinking about. We can also send notification out that if anyone's interested in being on the EC as well, so we can start to get people informed. And we have to make sure that we send a notification for members to become active members as well. So I will work with Juan to do that. So, yeah. Yeah, notification can start any time, so people can get active and then nomination starts and all of that. It's quite a process. So, I think that the notification has to go out so many days before nominations. So I have to look at those dates again. Yeah, 120 days. It's a lot. Any questions regarding the elections? No questions? No hands up? All right. Ori, did you want to do some of the... anybody has any reports to do, first of all, of things that are... Ori, do you want to go through it and say what hasn't been done? Are things we should be focusing on? If you're still on. Oh, go ahead, Raul, first of all.
Yes, I am.
Oh,
okay,
wait,
sorry.
1 second. Yeah, let Raul, he had his hand up, and I didn't see that. Sorry. Go ahead, Raul.
All right. All right, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so I think we had our elections at the right spot, and NCUC and NCSG have to make theirs early now. So
right. They've
had it in September, but they're going to have the results by the beginning of July now. And I think ours were really already doing that. So we should really just start the election process as soon as possible to have the results 120 days before the AGM. So I think
right. The
last time we started in April, and it needs 60 days before the elections start, right?
Right, that's right.
So, yeah, so that takes us already to, well, today, to 9th of June, and then it's 30 days for themselves and a few days for the results. So we are already looking at mid-July if we do it tomorrow.
But the thing is, Raul, we don't have to know the results 120 days before. We just have to know it by the AGM. And so what I was suggesting is that we, so the election would say end in, let's just say in terms of, in October, because the AGM is at the end of October, early November, that's Montreal. As long as we have the results then, so it's moving back October, September, August, and July. So the notification should go out in July.
Okay, Marion's just posted that the new EC will not have travel funding until after the AM.
That's correct.
Sorry, John, can I speak?
Go ahead. Yeah,
okay,
go ahead.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify this a bit. So if the elections hold after July 15th, which is the deadline for Montreal, which is 120 days deadline, then the new EC will not have travel funding.
Right.
It would only be the old EC. But if the elections hold before then, there has to be that discussion. Would it be the new EC going to new Montreal, or would this be the old EC? And when does the handover take place? So that's, you know, that's a discussion the EC needs to have. Does that make sense?
Right. And it does. That's exactly what I was trying to address, is that I'm suggesting that the current EC goes to Montreal, because we have duties there. So we have to backtrack from Montreal. So then the new EC would take over after Montreal. So then we have to backtrack the dates 120 days. Because after, it doesn't really matter about the 120 days, because they would have lots of time after Montreal for the next trip, which would satisfy the 120 days. So all we have to do is make the decision for the EC, so that we know who won by the time we get to Montreal, and we can do the changeover after Montreal. That's what I'm suggesting. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, the reason why the NCUC and NCSG are making their elections early are so that they can actually send the new EC to AGM. And sort of that is where the baton is given to the next ones, because it would be the new EC starting
right
there. Yeah.
But I'm suggesting we don't do that. I'm suggesting the current EC goes to Montreal.
We would be again off sync with the NCUC and NCSG then, and I think it has been sort of the habit that the new EC does go to the AGM. I think that would sort of make it the financial year would really be the line for the new EC to make the trips, I guess.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't feel too strongly about this, but I think it would be good if we were in sync with the NCUC and NCSG.
Yeah. Well, I think that if I could suggest that in the future that happens, I think right now to do that is going to be... because we've already committed the new EC, which you can't really do. Old and new councillors get funding? They do?
Yeah, so for the GNSO, the incoming councillors get travel funding, as well as the old councillors that are, their terms are going to be ending after the AGM or at the AGM. So it kind of works a bit differently.
Well, that meant,
but
okay.
Constituencies, it's different.
Right.
Yeah. For the constituencies, it's different. No extra travel funding. It's just for whatever EC is in the seat at that time, is on the seat at that time.
Right. Okay, so how does everybody feel?
You would want to have this conversation with Bruna and just sort of find out what exactly they are doing, because this will be a first for them as well.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that in terms of what we're doing in Montreal, we've already committed to doing certain things.
Okay.
And it's very difficult to commit a new EC to, when you've made a decision that you're going to do it, to tell them that they're going to do it.
Okay, thanks.
So, how does everybody feel? I guess I can't make that decision. Yeah. Okay, Raul, your hand is still up. So here's a decision then. So there's no funding, so for both. Just the incoming council meeting has no substantial, just elections. So the question is, do we have the election? So here are the choices. Do we have the election and the current EC goes to Montreal and then it's passed over at the AGM? So I don't know how the new ones would not be in Montreal. Or do we have the elections later, and that's a choice. Do we have it or later, I guess? And start the election process tomorrow. Yeah. Okay, so here's a question. Ori, I hope you can hear me. Do we have start the process in April, which we ended up knowing who the new... I have to look at NCUC because I don't think they have the 60 days like we do. We will not know who the new April, May, June until the end of June. And that's still, so June, July, August, September, yeah, it's 190, October. It's really close, but... let me follow up on this with Bruna and Stephanie, because I really think that it's a lot more complicated, and then we can choose respond. But right now, everyone feels that we should start in April. Is that sort of the feeling that we do it the way we normally do? Yes, we're favoring that as opposed to a later one. Anyone? Okay, so we're leaning toward April. Okay, so we won't be able to. Well, okay, all right. Well. If no one has any objections, I will speak with Bruna C and Steph and see what they're doing, and then I'll just send an email, and we still have time to then start in April. How's that? So, yeah, when does the new EC would take over after Montreal? after the AGM. They're not, you know, that's a long time to wait. Traditionally, it would, Okay, so I guess that's resolved. We'll do it, and then they take over. They have a long time to prepare. It's after all that they would, Okay. So the new EC would take over after Montreal. So the current EC would go to Montreal, and the new ones will take over. So that's what it would be. Right? Is everybody in agreement for that? Then I don't have to talk to Bruna if that's really the... if that's what we're going to do. So, all right, so I will work with Juan then. So the new decision then is I'll work with Juan to start the election process. And the so we don't really have to satisfy the 120 days because it's after that that the new EC would take over. So, okay? That's right. That's what I understand as well, Miriam, that the NCUC and Institute will take over afterward. Makes sense. So, okay. So I, the new decision is I don't have to speak with Bruna and Stephanie. We'll go ahead and that's the process. We will start the election in April, and the new EC will take over in after Montreal. Is everybody okay with that? So we would be following the same process as NCUC. And that makes it easy because then they're new, MPOC is new, everybody's in sync. All right? So the action is that Joan will work with Juan to get the election process going. And, you know, we could discuss at that point who goes to Montreal as well. All right. Okay. Everybody okay with that? Yes, yes, no. No objections? Okay, Raul, go ahead. Raul, you have your hand up? We can't hear you if you're speaking. Raul, we can't. Oh, go ahead. We can't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep. No, we can't.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Right. So I think the only danger there is that we could end up in a weird limbo where the people are already elected. Yes, that's the thing. So I think
that's why I was suggesting we have it later.
Hmm.
That's exactly why I was suggesting, because I know if I was elected, I'd be like, I should be doing something.
Yeah. But I guess...
I just don't like it.
Hmm.
That's how I started the conversation, because then that's almost like the next meeting is in, like, the next face-to-face is in March. So you've got November, December, January, February. Like, that's a long time. And then they're not even going to, I mean, I think that, you know, if somebody's elected, they should be the one that's at the meeting in Montreal.
Yes.
If they're elected in July or August, I mean, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's good to have the election so that we can give the constituency slots to the people who are elected. And then we
right.
will already have, like, motivated people going to the meeting. So that's why I think it is
good to know the result before giving out the constituency slots in July.
Right. So yeah. we'll know it, and then the new EC, then we'll have to make the choices of who go. But it would be I would say the focus would be the new EC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with that.
Yeah, and what the official handover is in after the AGM, but they could still be there and, you know, say, for example, it's a new chair. I could still do it remotely or something like that. I mean, it could still, business goes on, right? So, all right. Yeah, I agree, Ori. All right. So, the official handover means that that you make the decision that, you know, this is our last meeting and this is their first meeting. What did we do last year? Well, it was almost the same people, so it didn't really make that much of a difference, to be honest. So, but we have to make everything clear now. Because people are going to be coming, new people are going to be coming on board, so it has to be very clear. So I will just talk with Runa anyway and see if they're going to make their new EC go, and that would be the decision. Okay, let's just move on. I'll follow up with it and let you guys know, but I get a sense that we're going to go ahead and then we can make the decision after. So, Raul, you have your hand up. Is there another question? See, if you can you tell us any actions that need that hasn't been done and that we need to focus on from past meetings?
Okay, yeah, I have a long list. Let's see. Okay. Yes, we can. Okay, all right. So this is actions that came out of our meeting in March, well, all the meetings we had in March.
Right.
Okay, someone needs to mute their mic.
Yeah. I will do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Caleb, can you also mute your mic? Okay, so from our constituency day, we had a suggestion that we should put in a comment for the EPDP Phase 1 report, since the public comments are open at the moment. So I know we've had a discussion about that on the mailing list. So, so there's that. And I'm not sure how we decided to proceed with that, but I think Benjamin and maybe Franco offered to write comments and then everyone else would comment. But I'm not sure if that's, you know, if that's the process we're going to follow. So, yeah. Then, following up from our joint session with MPOC and ALAC, I think which we already spoke about earlier, we wanted to identify some people who we could interview about PDPs, and let's see. And we also wanted to, well, we discussed maybe developing a list of case studies of MPOC members and DNS issues that they're having, just as a way to better explain what we do at MPOC and the value we can add to our members. These are not really assigned to anybody, so they're just kind of out there. And we hadn't really discussed them further, but there are suggestions that were made, so I put them down. Let's Then membership, one is going to schedule a membership call. So, well, he's not here anyway to follow up on that. So that will be coming up sometime soon, I assume. Then our finance MPOC bank account issue. I think the last discussion we had was that Raul would check with ICANN Legal to see whether, you know, our idea of, you know, incorporating MPOC as a nonprofit is in order. And then depending on the feedback we get, then we would propose this idea to MPOC Discuss, to the mailing list, and we would basically take it from there. Then policy committee, I think Dave is going to schedule a meeting. I don't know when, but but we're meant to have, I guess, a meeting in April. We discussed that, but there's been no dates set for that. So yeah. So Dave, I guess we'll get some feedback from you on that. I think, okay, and then website issues as well. So there were some, okay, Dave.
Oh, all I was saying was yes, we need to set that. I will do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dave. And then, okay, our MPOC website. Okay, so Caleb, you weren't on the call at the time, but there are some things that we want to put on the website. So I'll include those in the notes. But basically, we wanted to have some notes from Kobe. Dave is going to do a summary of his EPDP presentation and some highlights to include on the website. So those will be my notes after the meeting, so you can see those. I think those are the major things. If I left anything out, please let me know.
Hi, it's John. Yeah, those coincide with my actions as well. Just that we should, one big thing that has to go on the website if we're going to do the election is that there has to be an announcement on the site as well. It's one thing to go on the discuss list. It must be on the website, for sure. So that thing, Caleb, that has to satisfy the number of days that it's on the website. That's part of the requirement. So when it's sent, it's got to be uploaded. It's imperative. So that's the other thing that has to be done for the website. All right. Any questions regarding the app?
Are you able to get the content?
Yes, I'm going to, yes, it's John. Yeah. I'll work with Juan and send you the announcement. Let him send you, him or me, send you the, I'll take the bill for it, send you the announcement so that you can put it on the website. Okay? Any other questions? David, do you know when, have you scheduled a meeting for April for the PC? And number one and number two is the comments that Benjamin and Franco, will you oversee that? How would you like to handle that?
The comment I was going to help with as soon as I get a minute, hopefully tomorrow, and just get them started with a draft framework and get discussion started on the mailing list and so on. Maybe was some small meetings for it. but mostly talk with them to see what they would like as
right.
help with. But yeah, so I've just been crazily busy. So as far as the same with the meeting, I just need to compare it to my crazy schedule, but that should be fine. So it's something I'll do tomorrow and get back to Miriam.
Okay. Great. So for this month, it will be really good to have a policy meeting and a membership call as well. So, okay, great. Any other questions? Any other actions regarding actions? I'm not sure if anybody's using Trello. I don't think anyone is, so we've decided just to sort of do this action thing, which it ends up getting things done anyway. But we'll keep a running tab on it as well. Any other business that somebody needs to bring up? No issues? Okay. All right. So we can call this part of, if there are no other questions or objections, we can call this part of the meeting. It is 10 o'clock. Does anybody have time to do a bit of time on the charter? I'm available, and I think Raul is as well. Does anyone else have some time? And Miriam, do we have time to do it in terms of the AC?
Sure.
Okay. Is everyone available to do the charter then? Is that what I'm understanding? Oh, well, that's great. So let's call this part of the meeting to an end then, and okay, so Raul can work on it now, so let's do that. Do you want to do your screen share, Raul? Raul, did you want to do a screen share, or do you want me to do it? Well, nothing like doing it now. So you go into the sorry, Miriam, if you want to guide him through, because I've usually done it by Skype, so.
Raul, I can talk you through, hang on a minute. Raul, I can talk you through it. I'll just make you a presenter, and you should be able to see,
Right.
Yeah, you should be able to see that option. If you go to the top right. Okay, great. Yeah, so you should be able to see share screen.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead, Raul.
Okay, so basically, we went through all John's comments on the document in Kobe. Well, not all of them. We're still missing the last, actually there's only like sort of one A4 left, which has three sections. It's the dues, transparency, and amendments to charter.
So that's fairly straightforward. I think it was John's comments were really just changing EC to no the executive committee to EC and some others. So there's not really any big issues there. And the issues I saw in the document earlier that we already went through in Kobe. So there was like four issues that were highlighted. The first one was in 3.1. It was what the exceptional circumstances are for a non-registered organization to join. The second one was 3.5.2. That's the subject matter experts, and that we should integrate them into the EC duties. There was 4.1, and I guess that's really the biggest change we were talking about doing, and that would really be reducing the size of the EC by 2. So we would be taking out the vice chair and the communications coordinator. Now, obviously, that's not going to affect the next EC, but the one after. And the final issue was about nominating the treasurer. I'm not sure. There was some talk that the treasurer, who was also put into the finance committee of the NCSG, that they would have to be independent of the EC. I'm not sure of that. Could be possible, but I think that's something we need to check.
Hi, Raul, it's Joan.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the person that we nominate for representation on NCSG doesn't really represent MPOC. So we have sort of a dance. They're representing the NCSG Finance Committee. It's kind of weird. So our treasurer that represents us would either be someone else or if it's the same person, they cannot be representing MPOC. So weird. You would think that would be the opposite, but that's basically what it is.
Okay, so I think out of the points I raised or we raised in the document, I think the most crucial one is that the 4.1, which would be taking out the vice chair and the communications coordinator roles. How do people feel about those? Because that's, I think, the biggest choice here. We discussed this with Joan, and I think like part of the rationale behind it was that we'd actually have the same number of EC people as we'd have travel slots, and then we'd still have the crop slot for any other member of NPOC who's being active. And I think at least for now, we are a smallish constituency, so maybe the 6 members in the EC is maybe a little overboard.
Go ahead, Ore.
Okay, yeah. So I'm thinking about all the duties, the current responsibilities of the vice chair and the communications chair. I guess we distributed to the other EC members. I guess that's right.
Yeah, so
for instance, all
that
yeah, go ahead.
So I just want to clarify that it wouldn't be automatic that all EC members would get a travel slot. Obviously, they have to be active as well. But I guess that would be sort of the norm. But if we had an inactive EC member, of course, then we'd rather give it to an active who is not in the EC. But please continue.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I was just talking about the responsibility. So, for instance, all the things that the vice chair is responsible for doing now would, if we're thinking of removing the vice chair, then those responsibilities would be maybe assigned to maybe some to the chair, some to the other members of the EC, and then same thing with the communications chair responsibilities.
Go ahead, Joe.
So, yeah, thanks. What we did was we went through the responsibilities of the vice chair, which is really to support the chair, and in the case of the chair not being able to chair the meeting, that the vice chair would do that. So then there would be sort of an understanding of someone who would be like the secretary or something like that to chair the meeting. So we went through all the duties. So there was a lot of overlap and a lot of confusion. It creates a lot of confusion when there's overlap in duties. So if there was a duplication and, for example, the communications chair and the membership chair had a lot of overlap. So other than the website, it is a duty of the membership chair to be actually communicate with the members, but so is the communications chair. So what we did was basically go through all the duties and say, okay, going forward, if this is an operational issue, it's better to have those duties defined and crystallized to a specific person rather than have it, oh, this person does it or this person does it, because it creates confusion. So that's why those were suggested to be eliminated. And it was just because of the double duties.
Yeah, we also decided to, instead of having a communications coordinator and a membership coordinator, we decided to have outreach and engagement coordinator. So then it really becomes clear that person is communicating to our members and the general public. And I think to the question that the vice chair, I think we'd have a rather small EC, and I think we could have if the new chair wasn't able to attend a meeting or something like that, he could always ask sort of the whole EC of who is willing to do it. And I mean, if it was some kind of a perk, you know, like some of these SOAC dinners or something like that, we could like try to make that rotate so that every EC could cover the chair in case they couldn't make it. Basically, the new EC would be consist of the chair and three other EC members. What do you think, Dave?
Good question.
I think I heard you say good question, but nothing else. Go ahead, Joan.
Great, thank you. So while we're waiting, so the whole idea, like as Ori says, it's about redundancy, but it's also the larger impact. If we're going to go out there and say, okay, this is the new MPOC and we're branding it, and we're showing how we've streamlined it, and really, it's a linear organization. It's an example to not-for-profit on how they can also look at efficiencies within their own ECs and organizations, because a lot of not-for-profits, as everybody knows, are overworked. And part of why they're overworked is all of these meetings and these responsibilities. And if they look at streamlining it so they can do their mission, that we stand as an example, not just about informing them of issues that surrounding the DNS, but also how to look at efficiencies within their own operational entities as well. So I think it's a much larger picture, I guess is what I'm saying.
So, okay, Dave had a very good comment that if we don't have a vice chair, we need very clear rules of who takes over from chair if not available. That's true. But I think we could just word it that the chair takes responsibilities to the EC as a whole. And, for example, if the chair suddenly quits, do you have suggestions for that? Or if something happens to the chair?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me yet? So I've actually become chair of NCUC under this circumstance where the chair suddenly quit. And as long as there's, and that was just simply that it had to be one of the EC, had to take over for the remainder of the term. And, you know, three people unvolunteered and there I was. It doesn't need to be, the procedure doesn't need to be complicated. It just needs to be very clear what it is. So if, the chair is absent for any reason, you know, it can be just that the rest of the EC must have a meeting and select one of them as chair until the next election, for example, is the basically the NCUC procedure. But as long as there's something, it's got to be very definite. This is a procedure. It's better if there's a clear, you know, if they just don't even, it's better if the procedure is, I mean, normally vice chair is also the chair if just, you know, they just don't turn up for a meeting for some reason, you know, they're ill or whatever. But, you absolutely need, a meeting can sort of deal with a chair being absent. You absolutely need someone, a procedure for what to do if they resign or get very sick or, you know, any other issue. And it just needs to be an unambiguous. So it can be just the rest of the EC select a new chair, but, you know, it's got to be just as long as it's something and it's clear. Essentially, you just need some direction to lead you out of crisis.
Okay, so I think we are in agreement. There's four people who agree that we could make the EC a little leaner. I guess we could go through the other 2 points in the list. So what the exceptional circumstances are for a non-registered organization to join. I have in mind at least that it could be an organization that, like a LGBT organization in a country where being gay is worth a death penalty, for example. So we just need to word that somehow. I can't really think of, like, basically if the laws of the country are against human rights, I think could be a good reason to sort of allow a non-registered organization.
My feeling is that rather than trying to enumerate all possible circumstances, or even a select set of circumstances, we should just have a procedure whereby the EC can make that decision. And it is a tricky one because we can't overrule NCSG. We can only sort of we can't fulfill membership. We can sort of, we'd have to work out some process whereby if they're not really eligible to be a member of NCSG, we either have to, well, we might just have to, we have to we give them some representation, but without, you know, running, we aren't trying to overrule the NCSG rules. I can think of lots of sort of situations where, as you said, sometimes where it just, an organisation can't really be a legal entity. Occasionally there's times when an organisation chooses not to be for some odd reason. But they do happen, and they don't always need to be very significant. Like it's not always because the organisation is controversial. But do we have a, I mean, what can we do if it's not, doesn't fit within NCSG rules?
Go ahead, Joan.
So I'm always thinking of, you know, how can we help people? But here's the issue. NCUC represents civil society, and we represent not-for-profits operations. So to be operational, you have to be an entity. Now, when I first came on to MPOC, one of the issues that was outstanding... Sorry. Can you guys hear me okay?
There are odd circumstances with it.
Oh, was he still speaking? I'm so sorry. I thought he was done.
Well, all I was going to say is there's some circumstances where it's possible to be an organization that isn't a legal entity, but that has operational concerns. And one of the examples is there are unincorporated organizations that form, you know, there are, for example, unincorporated organizations with no legal existence, but that create legal entities on a per event basis is one odd sort of loophole, for example.
Right. But what I was going to say, we did all discuss and agree to having that statement in the charter, so I'm not backing out from it. But I'm just saying, you know, first of all, I think we have to identify, I think that's what you're asking, identify what would be that exceptional circumstance. I think that's the issue that we have to identify. But I just want to bring up, when I first came on, Miriam and I actually had to redo the database, and we had the membership was really high, but many of those organizations were projects that were under an entity such as a church. Like there were many, we're supposed to say places of faith, but they were under churches and they were actually projects. So yes, there was an incorporated entity that oversaw them, but they weren't an entity, and so they didn't even exist by the time we we're doing the database. So I guess my question would be, we have to clearly define what those exceptional circumstances would be, and not to step on toes of civil society, because we do not represent civil society in any way. That's NCUC. That's the distinction between NCUC and MPOC. So I think we have one member that is actually fits under that situation, which is the group from Kazakhstan. They are a government entity that's a not-for-profit, and they felt in CSG almost a year to be part of MPOC because there was no other way for a not-for-profit to exist in that country. So that's an example where, you know, it was, even though not-for-profit is not really government, it was under government. So, but they proved that they were a separate entity, I guess. So I don't know. I guess this is a time where we're not going to look at broadly of what we're supposed to do, but actually specifics of what MPOC represents. I think that's what it comes down to. And if we're going to go forward and focus on operational, I think we have to say that absolutely that it's about an organization that is a legal entity and own a website, because that's the only way it's operational for MPOC. And I've gone through these documents and reading it, and you know, that's what we're about, very clear. So I think maybe we should consider either that we say these are the circumstances or removing that.
Yeah, my feeling is, I mean, we've said it's exceptional circumstances. We just need to, you know, it needs to be an explicit vote of the EC that, you know, explains why it's exceptional. I don't think we can sort of enumerate all the possible circumstances. I kind of think sometimes in these exercises there's an attempt to kind of like the future EC will have facts we do not, and we can't anticipate all of them. Sometimes it's better to just leave it to a future EC that has facts we do not.
Yeah, so does everyone agree we should call it today and call it a day and maybe agree to meet again next week at the same time or the week after?
So Miriam is away, so it may be the week after. She's away, I think Miriam's away next week. So all of the meetings have to be either via Skype or a schedule the following week, including PC membership. Okay, so we'll have a doodle sent out, and that's it then. All right, and if anyone...
Thanks very much, everyone.
Great, go ahead. Yep.
Close?
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't seem to hear you, John.
So I think we're done. Raul is saying to wrap up, so I think we're done for now.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. Goodbye.